If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Philippians 4, please, and follow along as I read beginning at verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what you have written here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come here this morning to hear from you. Some of us will be encouraged, some of us will be challenged, most of us will experience both. And as a result of your loving us, our loving you, and our loving one another, we will serve you better this week. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is bringing together or bringing to a conclusion all that he has been saying to this church in the Roman colony of Philippi. As he begins this fourth chapter, you may remember last week I told you that he offers to the church at Philippi six commands. We looked at two last week. The first, in verse 1, to stand firm. To know what you believe and why you believe it and stand firmly upon it. Know where the lines are drawn and hold your ground. It's good to remember that Paul is talking here about principles and not preferences. What God has said in His Word, and not necessarily how you think about it, but what has truly been written and what He expects of you and me as His children. And what sort of flows out of that is the second command, and that is that we live in harmony. And He uses the example of a couple of gals there in Philippi who just weren't. I suggested to you that it had to have been something other than doctrine. Otherwise, Paul would have said, this is true, do this, don't do that. These are two gals who were not getting along. And I suspect it was, again, not principle, but rather preference. And forgetting that, not realizing that everything needs to be a fight, not everything's worth going to the mat for, that there are some ways in which we just do the Christian life a little differently that goes beyond the scope of right or wrong, but rather just what I prefer, and realizing that we can live in harmony even in our differences. Live in harmony. There are three more commands that we want to look at this morning. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And he finishes the verse by saying, again, I will say, rejoice. That's his way of underlining, italics, bold print. This is important, folks. Please don't miss this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And the first thing you might think when you see that is, how can that be real? How can that be right? Rejoice always? Doesn't Paul know what I went through last week? Doesn't he know what's coming this week? Well, let me remind you. Paul is chained to at least one Roman soldier as he's writing this. And he's writing to a church in the first century that is already beginning to have to deal with persecution. And he's telling them to rejoice always. Well, first of all, let me remind you that this is a choice, not an emotional response. He's not telling them to always be happy. He's telling them to always find joy, always be in a place of joy. At least 16 times in this letter, he will use the word joy or rejoice. It's one of, if not the theme of the book, rejoice. So because it's a command, it can't be an emotional response. It can't be based upon what's happening around me, so it can't be all about happiness. It's a choice. It needs to be the continual, habitual practice of rejoicing. Finding in our God the truth of His goodness, our redemption, all that He provides to us, even, Paul would say, the opportunity for service. All should spark within us genuine joy or rejoicing. That last hymn we sang this morning is a good illustration of that. Does Jesus care? Great question. Whatever it is I'm going through right now, whatever the challenge is, great question. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, He cares. And my response to that should be joy. To rejoice. Does it mean I have to be happy going through the... No. Does it mean I don't ever expect to struggle or have challenges? No. But I can in the challenge find joy. I can in the challenge choose to rejoice. Whatever this is I'm going through, He's going through it with me. He's put boundaries around whatever it is I'm going through. I will not experience anything that with His help I can't handle. That should spark joy, rejoicing. So He can command, make this choice, choose to rejoice in the Lord always. Not in my circumstance, not in my ability, but in the Lord. The one who allowed this to happen. A pastor, when he announced to his church that he had just been diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer, said, I know y'all want to pray. And you want to pray for healing, and that's fine. I know God can heal. But the same God who could choose to heal me could have also chosen not to have me get sick in the first place. So whatever else you pray for, pray that I learn whatever it is I need to learn as I go through this and that I can choose to have joy and to rejoice that even in this, I'll not experience anything that He hasn't designed just for me. so I can rejoice in the Lord. The second command, verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. I wish I could express to you the utter humility of realizing that the NIV better translates this, let your gentleness be known to all men. What is gentleness all about? Again, a command, let your gentleness, let your gentle spirit be known to all men, all you come in contact with. The idea of gentleness is the idea of power under control. Not simply asking myself the question, can I, but rather also, should I, thinking of others. Along with that is the idea of graciousness, humility, patience, contentment. All of which is possible in the life of the believer only because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. These are fruit of the Spirit. These are evidences of the fact that you are under the control of the Holy Spirit. So let your gentleness, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. All. Yes, your immediate family. Yes, the family of believers that you regularly meet with. Sure. But also, the person that checks out your groceries. Be patient, be gracious. The guy at the convenience store. Be gracious to the guy in front of you at the convenience store. Who's buying cigarettes and lottery tickets and all that other stuff, and all you want to do is pay for your gas. Be gracious to him. Wish him a good day. All men, let everyone see your graciousness, your gentleness, your humility, your patience, your contentment. Because you're such a wonderful person. No. Because God in the person of His Holy Spirit indwells you. You've found the source for being able to be gentle to others. And maybe you'll have an opportunity to express that to them. And then Paul says something that not everyone agrees as to exactly where it should be. He says, the Lord is near. What does that mean? And in some translations, that sentence is actually the beginning of the next verse. What does it mean to... Let's just deal with it right here in verse 5. What does it mean to have the Lord near as I express my gentleness? Well, one certainly true aspect of this is what I have been suggesting to you, and that is that the Lord is near in the person of the Holy Spirit within you, and you and I need to be conducting ourselves in such a way that reflects we understand that the Lord is right here with us. the world, genuine believers wouldn't entertain this idea at all, I don't think, but the world likes to compartmentalize, especially religion. It belongs here and not necessarily over here. And so as a result, there would be some things, well, we would do in church, but some things we would certainly not do in church, or things we would say here and certainly not there, and that sort of thing. Totally misunderstanding the fact that as a believer, He's always right here with us. And what a surprise it will be for the unbeliever to find out He was always right there with them too. It's not like God only sees what's going on in here. Or that you could do anything and not be within His view. But especially for you and me, we should understand that He's always right here beside us. The other idea, the other possibility that Paul is interjecting here is, you know, it won't be long before we will see Him. Reference to the rapture, perhaps. Or, as time has demonstrated, most of us are going to see Jesus within a lifetime. And so we're going to see Him soon, and we will give an account of how we have lived our lives. And if we have lived a life that reflects gentleness, graciousness to all men, then we've come to understand that. But as I said, some translations, or you know that as Paul was writing this letter, he didn't put in chapter and verse markings, right? He wrote this letter just like back when we used to write letters. You wrote a letter. You didn't put chapters and verses and all of that. All that's added just so that when I refer to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, you know exactly where we're talking. So where does this phrase fit? Where does this sentence fit? It could also be the beginning to this next thought. The Lord is near. Here's this command: be anxious for nothing. Well, good reminder. God and the person of His Holy Spirit is within me. There's a sense in which Jesus, our Savior, is right here with us. Well, if He's right here, what do I have to be anxious about? Be anxious for nothing. In His first extended message that we have recorded for us, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told the group gathered there, do not worry about your life, Matthew 6:25. And then goes on to describe that. In fact, we even talked about that in our first message of this new year. If God takes such good care of the rest of His creation, doesn't it stand reasonable that He would take care of the pinnacle of His creation? So don't worry about your life, the details of it. He has it all under control. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, it appears as though he uses three synonyms for prayer. First is prayer. He says, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And sometimes we look at that list and say, okay, they're synonyms. They all mean the same thing. I will appeal to our resident linguist and suggest that there are really no such things as synonyms. Every word has its unique character. And so it is here, if we peel it back just a little bit. The word prayer deals more with our approach to God. Understanding that as a part of His creation, yes, the fact that we are praying, that we are approaching God, suggests, reflects the fact that we are His children. He is our Heavenly Father. But prayer reflects our approach to Him and the worship that should be a part of our praying. Thinking about who it is we're talking to. Thinking about who He is. All that He is. And a certain sense of amazement that He would allow us in to talk to Him. There's more than one story in the Old Testament that includes the principle that not just anybody can walk into the throne room. In fact, if you walked into the throne room uninvited, it could be a capital crime. And here is the God of the universe just waiting for you and me to barge in and talk with Him. Understanding that should bring us to worship. So prayer is all about our approach. Supplication, petition, maybe a little better word. Well, that's identifying specific needs. Father, you know so-and-so has cancer. So-and-so's having a test this week. So-and-so's going through this challenge. That's the specific need. Making known, lifting someone up and saying, you know, I know they're going through a difficult time right now. And it's not that we're informing God of anything. It's just He enjoys our coming and just chatting with Him. And as I think about spending time with my Heavenly Father, oh, you know, I've got this brother who's going through this. I've got this neighbor who's challenged with this. So that's my supplication. That's my petition. The request, well, that's the specific thing we ask for. So-and-so's having a test this week. Lord, have it come back good, please. So-and-so is going to find out if that biopsy is positive or negative. Father, I'm going to be so bold as to ask you that it would be negative. So-and-so needs a job and he's going for an interview today. Lord, give him the job, please. Now, we'll always add things like if it's your will and if that's the right job or... But this is when we get really specific and ask for something in particular that God would do. So we can pray, we can petition, we can request, we can do all of this, He says, with thanksgiving. What would I be thankful for? I don't know the outcome yet. Well, I have said to others more than once, I don't know what's coming, but I know the one who does. I don't know what the answer is going to be, but I know the one who does, and I trust him. And that should bring us to a place of thanksgiving. So no matter what drove us to our knees, even with weeping, lifting someone up, ourselves, knowing that God hears and that God answers should bring us to a place of thanksgiving. As a result, be anxious for nothing. The conclusion or the result of all of this is verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Remember, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. So it's evidence that I am who I say I am, the very child of God, a sinner saved by grace. So the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, is hard to understand. Well, let us not be surprised that from time to time, when the finite tries to understand the infinite, there's a struggle. And all of a sudden, I find peace. If you haven't experienced it, if you're a child of God, if you haven't experienced this yet, you will. The Lord chooses to take you through a difficult time. When it's all over with, you look back and a part of what you realize is, you know, I handled that a lot better than I normally would have. In fact, I had a peace through that that's not my general bent. That's hard to understand. That was the peace of God. It's a peace that we as His children can experience. He says this peace will guard our hearts and our minds, our emotions and our thoughts in Christ Jesus. This peace, Jesus said on the night in which He was betrayed in John 14 and 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. My peace I give to you. Can we be happy all the time? No. But we can find joy. We can choose to rejoice. We can reflect gentleness, our gentle spirit, to all men, if we choose to. And we can be anxious for nothing. We don't have to worry. The result is the peace of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the truthfulness of Your Word. Because these are commands, I know it's a choice. And I know because You command it, I can choose to do it. It can be a reality in my life. I can know real peace that is the result of trusting You for everything, having reflected Your graciousness, Your gentleness to those around me, and trusting You enough to rejoice through the difficult times, knowing that You are in charge and You know exactly where all of this is going, bringing me back to your peace. Now, this is only possible because you loved us. This is only possible because you offer this to us by grace, through faith in Christ. So, Father, if we're hearing this and struggling with how this could ever be true in my life, perhaps that's where we need to begin. These are not commands. These are not truths we simply put on. These are the result of already being your children. So if we aren't, we need to begin there. But having come to that reality, may these commands be reflected in our lives this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.